This first Sunday of Lent, as we begin our Lenten journey, the scriptures remind and tell us that Jesus is the great chain breaker. He breaks the chains that bind us down of sin and intergenerational sin and sickness. He comes to break those chains, to set us free. In the gospel today, Jesus undoes the sins of his ancestors. Remember, we celebrate Lent for 40 days plus the Sundays. They're a little one-day break from Lent, if you will, even from your Lenten sacrifices, if you so choose, though you're not required to, of course. We celebrate 40 days to imitate the 40 days of rain and flooding of Noah, the 40 years of the Israelites in the desert, the 40 days of Christ now in the desert. And Jesus goes into the desert before he begins his ministry to undo the sins of his ancestors. The tempter said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Well, what did his ancestors, the Israelites in the desert, do? God frees them from the slavery of the Egyptians, brings them into the desert, only for them to complain and say, "You brought us here to starve to death. At least in Egypt, we had flesh pots to consume. Now here we are starving to death." They complain to God, and he brings them manna from heaven. And then they complain about the manna, and he brings them these quail to eat. And then they complain about the quail. Jesus instead says, "No, I will rely on the Lord to provide and not put him to the test and complain for my hunger." Remember the Israelites, as they get to Mount Sinai and Moses goes up to converse with God, they grow tired of waiting on him. And so what do? They melt all their gold together, create the golden calf, and they worship it, just as Satan tries to tempt Jesus to worship him. He undoes the sins of his ancestors. He breaks the chains of his people and then crosses the River Jordan as they did into the promised land to begin his 3 years of ministry. He's a chain breaker. And he breaks the chains of sin that we pass on from generation to generation to set us free this Lenten season, for us to truly celebrate Easter anew. What are the chains that bind you down? What are the intergenerational sins that hold you back? Maybe it's addiction. That's not just a sinful reality, but also a genetic, psychological. Just as your parents may have had cancer, so you are more likely to have cancer. If your parents were addicts, alcoholics, you are more likely. Maybe it's mental illness. Maybe it's womanizing. Maybe it's vanity. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's misogyny. One of the oldest chains from the beginning of creation of Adam and Eve is that of a hatred toward women, so that everything is their fault. And historically, we continue to struggle with that. Even in this own country, so proud of our democracy, it wasn't just but 100 years ago that women were even allowed to vote. And so people will use this misogynistic way of considering women and even cite the scriptures. The first reading today, "Well, Father, if you read the book of Genesis, what happens? Eve was tempted. Eve sinned first. She ate the forbidden fruit. And because of the original sin, now we have sickness and death and cold and hot and shame and laboring to eat and pain and childbirth and mosquitoes." I don't know. Add to the list of things that are not pleasant. None of that was suffered or experienced by Adam and Eve before original sin. And Eve ate the fruit, and now all of this is our reality. It's the woman's fault. And so we think this way even to this day. But if you listen to the second reading from Paul to the Romans, he is very clear. "Brothers and sisters, through one man, sin entered the world. Just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners." What I would propose to you is that the first sin was not Eve. It was Adam. The sin of omission in the traditional language of the church, because we can do harm not just by actively doing wrong to someone, but by simply avoiding doing what is necessary. An extreme example, parents who give birth to a child who cannot eat on their own and refuse to feed that infant, the baby dies. That sin of omission can lead to death. And that's precisely Adam's first sin. God creates Adam before Eve and says, Adam, you take charge of the garden. You protect it. And now I will let you name the animals and the birds and all the living things, and then provide for you an equal. Protect her. She is your equal, taken from your rib, not your foot. Rib from rib, flesh from flesh, bone from bone. Adam sees she is his equal. And he must protect her as he must protect the garden and everything in it that God charged him to do even before Eve existed. But what happens? The serpent comes to the garden. He's smarter than Adam. He's more powerful than Adam. Adam is very much aware of the danger coming. And instead of confronting the serpent and laying down his life if necessary to protect Eve in the garden as God charged him to do, he simply turned his back.
I didn't see anything. I don't know.
Protecting his skin, if you will. So much of the brokenness in our society today, I believe personally, is because of the failure of us men to stand up for our family, for our wife, our children, to be present in their lives. Maybe because of addiction, maybe because of mental illness, maybe because of workaholism, maybe because we think that's the role of the woman to raise the kids and teach them the faith, whatever wrong way of thinking, the absence of men, or because of divorce or separation or abandonment, really is at the root of so many of our brokenness and problems in society today, because we simply fail to show up in the ways that matter most, teaching the faith, laying down our lives for our spouses, our children, being with our kids, helping raise them. And that's what Adam did. He simply turned his back on this danger and allowed the serpent to come in. The church fathers tell us that Christ is the new Adam. And they would say, at the new Adam, Jesus did what the first Adam failed to do. He's a chain breaker. Adam turned his back to the danger of sin and the serpent, the evil one, and exposed his wife to the temptation that she then, yes, chose freely to do and sin. But he turned his back, refused to risk his life for her. Christ, in turn, faces the serpent of sin and death and lays down his life for his bride, the church, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, to preserve her pure, immaculate, and undefiled. Jesus did what Adam failed to do. He laid down his life for the bride, protecting her, the church, all the baptized faithful, from the consequences, eternal consequences, of sin and death by putting himself between evil and us. Christ broke the chains of the sin of Adam. And he calls us to break the chains of not only erroneous ways of thinking, like misogyny, but also to break the chains that hold us back in our own lives. This Lenten season, through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the idea is that we would break the chains of pride, of greed, of gluttony, maybe of addiction, of mental illness, seeking support and help humbly, just as Christ needed the help of Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross. Jesus, the Son of God, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, could not carry the cross to Golgotha. Imagine the humiliation of someone like him to need the help of a sinner like Simon of Cyrene to get the job done, if you will. For some of us, mental illness, addiction requires that we have a Simon of Cyrene, where we admit, I can't do this by myself. I need help and I need support, and I will walk with those who help me. I will humbly accept, I cannot do this on my own. It's also true of sin, insofar as we refuse to go to confession, to the sacrament of confession. It's in the sacrament of confession that we say, Jesus, I need your mercy to be forgiven. And you have given that power to your priests, clearly in John chapter 20, to the bishops and their successors and those upon whom they lay their hands in ordination, so that as a tool in your plan for salvation, I can truly be forgiven with the authority of your church. In your name and on behalf of my family, because there's no me and Jesus. It's we and Jesus. Christ himself is not alone. He is one person of the Trinity of persons, but one God among the three, of the three. Through one man, sin entered the world. Through each of us individually, sin continues to enter into the world. And Christ comes to break those chains. What are the chains that hold us back? Maybe the poverty that your parents or grandparents escaped. They took a risk. They left everything behind, coming to this country so that you could have a better life. Maybe you heard the stories of violence, hunger, famine, political instability, whatever the reasons for why they left Mexico or wherever to come here. Maybe you never heard them and you don't have an idea of what they went through, and you only know life here, which I presume is much safer and more stable than where our ancestors came from, including my own. And they took a risk. They broke the chain of the cycle of violence, instability, hunger, and poverty to come to this country so that you would not know that and have a new life. Just as they did that to give you new life, what are the chains now that you in this country need to break for your children and their children? The ending of addiction, of misogyny, of mental illness, of drunkenness, womanizing, vanity, greed, gluttony, pleasure, lust. What are the chains that hold us back? Because we know that maybe we grew up under that with our parents who struggled with these things. And as much as we swore we would never be like our dad or our mom, in moments of anger and frustration, they come out in us and we're horrified. And maybe we think, well, what can I do? There's nothing. Or maybe we think, Jesus, break this chain and cycle. Set my children free. Give them a new life, a new experience, different, better than my own. Let me be the one that stops the cycle. Let me be the one that breaks the chain so that my children and grandchildren will have no idea what I suffered, because their life is so much better, because I chose to break these chains. It can only happen through suffering, a death to self. Jesus told Peter, I must suffer and die and then rise. Peter takes him aside and says, Lord, no, you're the King of Israel. How are you supposed to be rejected by our religious leaders and tortured and killed? What does Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking not as God does, but as man. Get behind me, Satan. Those are the exact words Jesus used in the gospel today to Lucifer himself. Get away, Satan. You are thinking as man does, not as God. Peter, learn from me. True life comes through giving of yourself for the good of others, dying to old habits of vice and sin, breaking chains, seeking help and support. Only then, when that grain of wheat dies, can it bear much fruit for your children and their children. You are going to plant the tree. You may not see the fruit, but you know that tree will be there in the future for your children and grandchildren because of the death to self that you chose to give and do for their sake. Jesus broke the chains of the cycles of sin for his own people by going into the desert and came through the River Jordan into the promised land to give new life to his people, which meant everyone, not just the Israelites and Jewish peoples. And so what about you and me? We enter into the desert now, this Lenten season, to identify the chains and cycles of sin that have maybe haunted us and our family for generations, to bring them to Jesus, to break them, to humble ourselves, to die to ourselves, to rise this Easter season as a new creation in Christ by the power of his resurrection, knowing that only through death can we have new life. Christ is the new Adam. He did what the first failed to do for his bride, Eve, and in the terms of Christ, the church. Jesus enters the desert to break the cycles and undo the sins of his ancestors in the desert under Moses. And now here you and I are in the desert of Lent. There are no flowers. There are no greenery. What will you choose to do? Christ is the chain breaker. And as Christians, we must be too.